Audio files MP3, on Afterlife. Experience reports, 1968 to 1970. From past life, reported from the other side, recounted spiritual experiences, when they just entered the afterlife. Here, then Google translated from German to English. Remark, this has been found in German language online, and translated here via Google into English, for personal use. And mistakes can certainly be found here, both in the translations, and in Google's perception, interpretation of the language otherwise. At some point in time, these messages will surely be translated and approved by the group, glz.org. Foreword. The more than 2,000 lectures that were given by the deep trance medium Beatrice Brunner, 1910 to 1983, through medial means also include 91 experience reports from ascending spirit beings. These are stories from deceased people who report on their earthly life and their first experiences in the world beyond. These accounts are very personal. The reporters show in many different ways what effects their human thoughts and actions had and how individually they were judged and treated after their death. The accounts give a vivid insight into various levels of the world beyond and into the laws of cause and effect. They show how justice is done to everyone who returns home and how much God's spirit world strives to support everyone in their spiritual development. Contents is here last in this file. Introduction. In this volume, ascending spirit beings have their say, who report on their past life on earth and their experiences after death. They were all specially selected by the divine world to give an insight into the world beyond through mediator Beatrice Brunner. Spirit teacher Joseph explained, "We tried to give you such reports of experiences from which you can learn something, that is through which you can familiarize yourself with this spiritual world. Therefore, we particularly highlight spirit brothers and sisters who have ascended or are in the process of ascending. They should explain it to you themselves and tell you how it went for them, or I will tell you. Since you are also in the process of ascending, you can draw comparisons, you can see from these reports what needs to be improved in order to enter a higher world and what the obstacles are that hinder the ascension." Half of the lectures in this volume were given by spirit teacher Joseph himself. The reason for this is that a person who has returned home is only able to speak, through the medium, once they have reached a certain level of development. We therefore decide whether I must now tell you what happens to the person in question or whether the soul in question can come before you and explain it. Spirit teacher Joseph explained how he is able to gain insight into the past of a spirit being. If I tell you about a deceased person who passed over into the spiritual world 50 years ago, let's call it the even number, you will ask yourselves how it is possible that I can now describe the entire experience of this spirit. In this highly technologically advanced time, it should no longer be particularly difficult for you to understand something like this, because you too have the opportunity to see events that may have happened 50 years ago. You have been told again and again that all of man's achievements have long been present in the spiritual world. So this should be quite understandable to you. To clarify this further, I would like to say that I have my helpers at my disposal who are looking for suitable spirit brothers and sisters who you can talk about or who you can ask to talk about themselves. A recurring theme in this volume is the statement that a person's nature does not change when they die. In the first period after their return home, all deceased people still show the same way of thinking and behaving as when they were human on earth. Joseph explained, "In this you will also find confirmation of other teachings that you have received from us. Just as man lived on earth with his own characteristics, his entire mentality, this is also expressed in the world beyond. It is a false notion to think that after laying aside the earthly body, this characteristic and mentality simply disappeared. For this mentality and this characteristic do not lie in the earthly body. This body is destined for transience, and it is impossible for this mentality, this characteristic, to work and develop in the earthly organs. The core of this, the drive or the motor for it, lies in the soul, precisely in what man cannot see. Everything is kept in the soul. the whole being and what man has built up in his thinking in his human life, what has become solidified or, for that matter, cramped when he has followed one-sided paths. The one-sided, the inharmonious, whatever it may be, or the harmonic, everything, simply the whole way of expressing oneself, is anchored in the soul. And the soul lives on after earthly death, and the soul is part of the entire spiritual being. The spiritual being appears like a human being. The spirit in its fine form is like the outside of a human being, and in it is the soul as a thinking, ruling being, and this self is taken with one into the spiritual world when one dies. If it were not so, there would be no difficulties of any kind for a spiritual being after death. But these spiritual beings create difficulties for themselves through their wrong thinking. Just as humans create difficulties for themselves through their wrong way of life, through their wrong diet, through their wrong thinking, they do many things wrong. The same thing happens in the spiritual world. One should not assume that a spirit being that comes to the world beyond would appear as a purified, elevated, refined being just by staying in the new world. From this one should also recognize that everything that has been done wrong requires its compensation and that one must be purified. As you already know, this purification takes place in different ways and some people resist purification. So, from this one must see, there is still something in such a spiritual being that must be purified and every being differs from the other in terms of its personality. First case. February 7, 1968. Richard escaped spiritual poverty through ambition and diligence. How a burdened soul in the beyond managed to atone for its guilt through hard work and to advance step by step with goodwill. The greeting and blessing of the controlling spirit are not preserved. Richard, greetings. My dear brothers and sisters, my name is Richard. I am telling you about the first time after my entry into the spiritual world. On earth I had a family with 5 children and I had my own house and other things. It seems that people in the spiritual world were not always happy with me. The people who lived with me complained because I often got drunk and became unwilling, dissatisfied and quick-tempered, as is the case when you have such a vice. I did not believe in life after death and I did not believe in God. I imagined that everything would end after death and did not give it any further thought. I had children and so I thought, my property will pass into the hands of my children, so everything is fine and what comes later does not concern me. Actually, I wasn't ill at all, but I had to leave this earthly world all of a sudden. So I was asked to show you the time after my departure from the earthly world and to describe to you what happened to me and what happens to everyone who passes into the world beyond with as much of a burden as I did. When I opened my spiritual eyes, everything was blurry in front of me. I couldn't see anything properly, but I could hear, that is, I heard everything that was being said around me. But there was a flickering in front of my eyes. I couldn't really see the figures that I heard speaking, but I recognized my mother by her voice. She asked me to drink. She had put a vessel to my lips and I drank from it because I was very thirsty. I heard my mother's voice say, "Richard, drink, it will do you good." Over time, the image in front of my eyes became clearer and clearer. So, in addition to my mother, I could also recognize my father and other relatives and friends. But I couldn't speak to them because I didn't have the strength to do so. Actually, I could think, and so I thought to myself, this is all a dream, you're dreaming. Because when I looked at my hands, I had the impression that they were the same as in my human life, and so I was convinced that I was really only dreaming. There was one thing I wasn't quite sure about, namely about all these people present and about everything they were saying. Until finally my mother said to me, "Yes, Richard, you've died and are now in another world." That got me thinking, and I started to look a little more closely at my surroundings. Now I noticed, with some horror, that I had no shoes on my feet. I also immediately looked at my clothes. They were unfamiliar to me, at least I had never worn any in my human life. They were of a completely different kind. I also wore trousers and a jacket that was tied at the side. I had never worn clothes like that. I wondered where I had gotten this robe from. I had to have it from somewhere. I couldn't EMT remember ever to have acquired such a garment, and gradually I became convinced that something had changed with me. Then I heard my mother's voice again saying, "Lie down now, Richard, and sleep." At the same time she gave me another drink. I saw that it was a flat bowl that she was handing me. Then I must have fallen asleep. When did I wake up again? I no longer had a concept of time, but it became clear to me that something had changed in me. Now I could see my surroundings clearly. I was lying on a bunk in a garden, it seemed to me, but it did not look particularly well kept. This area seemed to be wide and large, and as I looked around I saw other bunks like this lying around me. I had a pillow under my head, but my body was uncovered, but I was not cold. I also did not see any blankets on the other bunks that were occupied. The garden looked a bit poor with the few trees and bushes. Some grass and very few flowers were still visible. You could count them. As I looked at the surroundings a little more closely, a figure suddenly came towards me and offered me something to drink again. It was the same flat bowl that my mother had already offered me. I could still remember that. The figure had a larger vessel with it, a clay jug, it seemed to me. The bowl also seemed to be made of clay. So I got something to drink again. I was very thirsty. It was only water, but I was happy with it. I quickly drank the bowl empty and asked for another drink. But then the figure turned its back on me and walked away with the jug completely indifferently. I called after him, "Listen. Come back again, I'm still thirsty. Please tell me where I am too." But the figure did not turn around. So I got up from my bed and wanted to take a closer look at the surroundings. Finally I came to the edge of the garden, that is, there was a gate, and at this gate stood another being. Without a word it opened the gate for me, and only made a sign to let me know that I should now continue on this path and leave the garden. I had now become somewhat more familiar with the idea that I was alive, but no longer on Earth, because here everything was different to what I was used to on Earth. I felt my body, and how strange I was. I had hands and feet, and I could think. Everything was similar to how it had been before. Deep in such thoughts, I set off, but quickly looked back again. I wanted to memorize the place where I had my bed. I wanted to return there for the time being, because I had to be able to lie down somewhere. I had no other home here. I didn't see any houses anywhere, so I had to be able to lie down there again, I thought. But when I turned back, I saw another one take my bed and run off with it. I ran after him, but I was not allowed to go through the door. The figure at the gate blocked me and said, "Forward, you must go." I went, because I was also a little curious and consoled myself with the thought that something would come of it. So I went along the narrow path, but immediately noticed that it was Hein and that others were following. But I was still too old to talk to others. Actually I was a little ashamed, because I felt rather pathetic, and I thought quickly about how I could get back to being a man here. I wanted to have my own house again. I followed him as I followed the narrow path. Finally I came to a place full of activity, and I found myself in the middle of this life. More and more people came along. I saw that they were all completely different. So I had no need to be ashamed of my clothes in front of them. They were no better and had no shoes. They were just as poor as I was. Now I looked around for houses and thought, there must be houses. Because that was my decision, I will be concerned that I get to one as quickly as possible. But I was wrong. I will be concerned about it. I didn't have to be. It was like that, because nobody had taken care of me, because when I met my mother and the others, I wouldn't have been able to speak to her or answer her. I couldn't really see any of them, and I had neither the courage nor the strength to speak. Now that I was in the middle of this great hustle and bustle, there were wide streets and side roads where there were places to rest. They were lined up along the streets, and occasionally they were occupied by people of the same kind who were sleeping there. But there was still enough space, and it seemed to me as if they wanted to invite the passers-by to lay down. Everything was clean and well ordered, but everything was so poor. Outside these resting places there were groups of beings. I assumed that they were those who had come here immediately after entering the spiritual world and had perhaps been here for a long time, so that they had already become familiar with the place. Because I noticed that some of them were playing cards together in groups or having indifferent conversations. I had observed them. I had stood still and watched them, and then I was immediately invited to play too. But I thought, I don't want to pass the time here playing games. I have to make sure that I get my own house. But that seemed difficult, because I didn't see any buildings, and these brothers and sisters, I will now call them, only had these open places to lie down at their disposal. Then I plucked up courage and asked, "Can one lie down here, or do you have to ask permission first and ask which place you can take?" The answer I received was, "You can lie down wherever there is space. There is enough room here and no one will chase you away." But then I realized that there were others besides these indifferent brothers and sisters. There was a lot of activity on the streets. I saw brothers and sisters pulling heavily laden wagons. 10 of them were pulling and pushing them, because they seemed very heavy and fully loaded, some with wood, others with stones, and still others seemed to be loaded with paper. They were all fully loaded, these somewhat oddly shaped wagons. Not from book, I also saw a few spirit brothers and sisters weaving baskets and doing other activities that I had considered primitive in human life. I looked for work because I wanted to earn something, but no matter how far my path took me, I could see nothing else but these brothers and sisters pulling these heavy wagons and those who were doing nothing and playing. I still saw a few people trying to play music on primitive, homemade instruments. It really was a very modest world. Somewhat disappointed, I then isolated myself to think about my situation. And then it became clear to me, yes, you died for the world in which you lived for decades. You had your property there, and you had to leave it all behind. And what do I have left? Nothing, not even a decent garment or a pair of shoes, nothing at all. That's how miserable I was in this world. I made plans. I wanted to improve, because I didn't want to give myself over to this idleness. But pulling such wagons seemed foolish to me. Well, when I had isolated myself like that and was resting on a side road, I received a visit. A being came up to me, greeted me kindly and asked me about my plans. I then said that I would like to leave here. I didn't like this environment and certainly not its inhabitants. And the conversation between us became more and more intense, because this other person was a spirit of God. He revealed himself to me and said, "You don't deserve anything else. If we want to look at your life together, you must realize that you don't deserve a better world. You didn't believe in God, and you weren't honest either. You had a possession, but you didn't collect it in a completely honest way. You also had a great vice. You got drunk a lot and caused a lot of suffering to your fellow human beings, both to them and to yourself. Instead of finding the way to a higher life, you chose the path to a lower, reprehensible life and lived it up. In this way, every soul gets where it deserves. Because in human life, it is up to you to do your part to make the future, spiritual life more pleasant, beautiful and wonderful. Or you experience spiritual life in its lower form, exactly as the soul desires. A and the desire in you," the higher being said to me, "was the desire for the lower, reprehensible life. What you long for is the external, the comfortable, pleasant and beautiful that you had in life. But you have to earn that, because this is the world of the spirit, and if a person has acquired merit in the spirit, he will be rewarded for these merits here. But you have done nothing for the higher world and your higher life. Your higher self has not spoken through you. You have not inquired about the higher goals in life. You strive for the lower, and now you must work your way out of this lowliness. You have to make up for a lot. You now live in such a miserable world." The Spirit of God enlightened me further and said, "Look, you were not punished immediately. You have your free will. You were given a great deal of freedom. You see, you can devote yourself to doing nothing if you want, just like the others do. But if you strive for the higher life, then you have to work your way up step by step. I could not go back to the earthly realms. This path was closed to me, as it was to all the others who had to live on this plane, level. They could not return to where they had lived as humans. On the other hand, they could not yet decide to live the higher life, I could see that. And now this higher being said to me, "You still know nothing at all about the order and the laws of God. You must first familiarize yourself with these spiritual laws. When you get to know them, you will see how necessary it is to work diligently towards ascension, and that it is a shame to devote yourself to doing nothing. But you have a lot to make up for, so the ascent will not be made so easy for you." The Spirit of God pointed to those who were pulling such heavy wagons and explained to me, "You see, they are on their way up. They want to pay off their debts. They are all deceased, and they have all burdened themselves deeply. They would hardly have stooped to doing such work in life. You see, they are humiliated before those idlers who laugh at them because they do this work. But if you look, you will see that they are not looking to the right or left, but are busy doing their work. And now the next step for me was to be this path of atonement. I too was to pull one of these heavy wagons. I wanted to know what it was for. I had a different idea of a heaven. Since there is a God and a world beyond, I would rather have imagined everything as one big splendor and glory than that one still needs to work. I also expressed my surprise that the same objects were present here in the spiritual realm as on earth. Then the Spirit of God explained to me, "What you see may seem so heavy to you, here is still those who are very burdened in this lower sphere by the lower forces, which are so condensed and still have a similar effect to earthly matter. They still have so much impurity in them, which is why these objects still seem so heavy. The subtle matter here is still as similar to earthly matter as this plane is still so similar to earthly matter. It is still enveloped by earthly, physical power. But if you could ascend, you would find this subtle matter easier from level to level." I had everything explained to me in detail, and so I also learned that everything material on earth was also present in the spiritual realm, and that this same material could be worked on here in the same way that people have to work on it, that material things were needed here just as people needed them to live. Everything that made life more pleasant for people could also be produced and owned in this world. Working in these lower levels was arduous, and it became more pleasant and beautiful the higher you could ascend. So I immediately thought that the wood must have to be transported somewhere to build houses, and I was confirmed. The stones and everything that was stacked on these wagons were also taken somewhere else to be processed. But everything was only pulled up to the edge of this level, where other spirit brothers and sisters were ready and received everything to take over the further transport, but where, as I was told, it was taken from its place. I had decided to follow the invitation to do such hard work because beyond the border there was a spiritual plane where gravity was already somewhat reduced and where it became more subtle. I had decided to follow the invitation to do such hard work because I wanted to make progress. I had immediately turned away from these idlers. I wanted to make progress. However, it was not the case that one could have achieved heavenly bliss with this activity, but it was part of working. One was also taught because this was one of the most necessary things because I knew nothing at all about this new world and nothing about the plan of salvation and redemption, nothing at all. I did not know the meaning of earthly life. So I was very interested in hearing so much new information and all of us who were eagerly dragging our wagons listened just as eagerly to these teachings. We had separated ourselves somewhat. There was enough space. We did not want to go among these idlers. We wanted to talk to each other. But now I would also like to say that I have been in contact with blacks, Indians, Japanese, and even with relatives of such different other races together. So they were not all white people. It seemed as if all races of people were thrown together here. It was difficult to communicate with one another, but we were able to express ourselves clearly enough and we all learned the same language together. This enabled us to communicate better. But we were only able to absorb all these teachings slowly. Our spiritual teachers spoke to each individual in his mother tongue. We could communicate with them in our own language and in this way get even more out of their teachings, because we were taught in the common language. However, it was easy for me to learn this language, because my memory seemed stronger than during my human life. I was then told that this was the will, the energy, the striving upwards would give one this ability to grasp and learn more quickly. All those who were willing to strive upwards were also led to prayer together, because we should glorify God together in prayer. We learned to sing together. In this way we were able to have a beautiful devotion for our edification. Afterwards we always felt strengthened and strange. The more eagerly we were in our striving upwards, the more strength flowed to us and the better we were able to carry out the work we had to do. So from time to time higher spiritual brothers and sisters took us under their wing and taught us about the meaning and purpose of human life. We were also supposed to get to know the spiritual world, but the way upwards was still blocked to us. We were allowed to experience and see what lay spiritually beneath us, what was even deeper. We were led to these unfortunate brothers and sisters in the spiritual depths, though we could talk to them and encourage them to change their way of thinking. For most of them were quarreling, were dazed and did not believe that they lived in the spiritual realm, but claimed that they were only dreaming and living as humans because everything around them was so dense and so similar to the wastelands on Earth. We could give them our support from time to time and make them understand what they needed to know. They believed us more than their higher spirit brothers, but it was not an easy task. But anyone who was willing to earn something in order to strive upwards, had to take every opportunity to do so. We had no time to take a siesta. We really had to use our time profitably, because we wanted to strive upwards, because we saw what we had missed in life, that we had lived without faith in God, that we had done so much wrong and harmed others. But this effort alone did not help us to move forward. It was said that we had burdened ourselves so much. We also had to stay isolated from time to time in a place where it was dark around us, though we could think, though we could ask God to forgive us. We could then focus entirely on Him and we could meditate on the lessons we had been taught. But to be so isolated, all alone in the darkness, was not pleasant, but it was to be part of our punishment. We had all encouraged each other. All of us who were willing to strive upwards had spoken to each other. It was also the case that from time to time we were allowed to say goodbye to someone for whom the time had come to pass on to a more beautiful place. And from there they would come to visit us again and tell us about their much more beautiful life, about the attention that was now being given to them. And so I too had finally reached this transition to this more beautiful place. I was then able to cross the threshold into a more beautiful sphere, where a more pleasant life began for me too and where I no longer had to pull wagons and do such hard work. It was the greatest bliss for me to first be initiated even further into the laws of God. I was so eager to learn, and that was to benefit me, because later it all proved to be of great benefit to me. Because I had worked so hard for my advancement, I was allowed to take part in building a house. I was allowed to present my own plans, make suggestions, and I remembered so many things that had impressed me in my earthly life. Some things were talked out of me, and some suggestions were improved. We discussed things together, but I was still very happy. I was allowed to build a house, even if it wasn't mine. I was still a long way from owning one. I was supposed to achieve much more, I was supposed to be even more eager, but I was now allowed to live in a house with other siblings, and I was also allowed to meet my relatives. I invited them to my place, they were my guests, and they, who had even more beautiful things and lived in even more beautiful places, told me about their world. So I found it simply wonderful to be able to live in this world, which always brought me so much new stuff. This great variety that you can experience everywhere. It awakens an inclination for different arts. What is on offer there? So I worked my way up from level to level and I gained insight into the wonderful world of the spirit, but according to your human calculation of time, a long time has passed since my entry into the afterlife until today, it is about 200 years.